The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Z-Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Alive, CJ Atlantic, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance. If you feel like you've been down the same road,
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust that you are doing well today. So let me give you a lay of the land today. I have a special guest today. We're going to talk about something very near and dear to my heart and should be to all of your hearts, which is wellness. We're going to talk about that today in the first hour. And then in the second hour, I got two things to talk to you about. One of which is the peculiar set of circumstances surrounding the dispute between the Prime Minister and Minister of Public Works regarding what they did or did not do in relation to BPL's hedging. I have some education that I hope I can do for you on the issue, right? I don't know that we could settle the issue, but we could do that. And then just to speak to Moody's recommendation and suggestion around dealing with the cryptocurrency valuations, which I think are helpful in helping us to be better educated on some matters around that too. So stay tuned. But before we get to that, I have with me Rhonda Wright of Seedlings Place. Hi, Rhonda. How are you?
Greetings. I'm well. How are you, Shivago?
Very good. Please forgive me. I was planning to be in a studio, but I had a dash back to Freeport. And so thank goodness technology allows us to continue to do what we do this way.
Yes, I'm grateful for that. But I'm so disappointed that I'm not sitting opposite you. I was looking forward to that.
Next time for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
We're going to make it a next time, since wellness is an issue that we really, I believe, eternally be discussing.
Absolutely.
Right?
We should be talking about it every day because that's the foundation, eh?
You know,
holds
listen,
up everything else.
I was lying on my bed a couple nights ago. And honestly, I didn't feel so good. Not physically. I felt like, for some reason, I felt drained, fatigued. And it was like my mind was racing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking, what can I do to ease this ease that mm-hmm. I have,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to myself, you know, Shivago, notwithstanding how you feel, like in the circumstance you're in, there's so many things that you could be grateful for. So let's start talking about some of those things. And then I considered what my life would be like without my health.
Right.
Right. And without my mental wellness.
Well, and so, go ahead.
And so I just, and over time, it just calmed me as I, because I was thinking the most critical thing in that moment was this, the fortune I have to be physically healthy and mentally well, notwithstanding maybe these a couple anxieties I was having.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it just goes to show you how important this wellness is. It is like the foundation for having a quality life, eh?
Listen, and you hit on a very powerful, powerful point. And that is, as you speak about wellness, you're talking about your mental health. You were experiencing some anxiety. Oftentimes when we talk about health and wellness, you know, the first things that come to mind are food or exercise, right? Mm. Those are the two top things that we probably consider, even though thankfully mental health has been pushed more to the forefront. So we're talking more about that. But traditionally it's food or movement. But I want to remind folks, and I talked about this on Aaron's show last week, what you're referring to is a category in my studies that we call primary food. So there's primary food and there's secondary food. Primary food is the food off of our plate. And secondary food is the food on our plate. And that's where we spend a lot of our time. But primary food is just as important, if not more important, than secondary food. And I'll tell you what kind of makes up the primary food. That can consist of other areas in our lives, speaking to our joy, our social life, our relationships, our finances, career, our home environment, home cooking, the physical activity, how much movement or exercise we're getting in our everyday, education, creativity, spirituality, health. All of those things make up primary food. And so something within one of those categories likely was on your mind and had you a bit restless, restless, right?
Yes.
But you took a fabulous step because you, rather than allowing yourself to sink deeper into the thoughts and feelings, you interrupted it by deciding consciously and intentionally to be grateful for what you do have. And I'm, you know, even again, without us specifically deciding the direction we would go with this conversation, you have started exactly where I wanted to start. And that is because we too often, you know, I want to talk about just finding our rhythm. We are so out of rhythm and out of sync across all of those things that we just listed for so many people, right?
It's interesting. It's interesting that you should mention the word rhythm, because in leading up to that episode for me, I said, you know, a couple of things that happened. I said, you know what, Trivago, what is happening is your body and your mind and your soul are out of rhythm. That's what I said. I literally said, I said, so we have to find a new rhythm, because some elements of the issue is more permanent than I can do anything about, right?
Yes.
So now in light of that, I can't change that, but I have to find a new rhythm for myself.
Yes.
And I thankfully, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to learn how we can intentionally work our mental state, because my own understanding is, and you could speak to this, my own understanding is, you know, there aren't bad experiences in the world, you know. There are bad experiences of interpretation in our heads.
Yeah.
About the
world. Ooh, Trivago, we definitely have to have multiple conversations. And of course, I was aware because I listened to your show that this is something that is near and dear to your heart and you are very conscious of it and taking intentional, important word, actions as it regards to that. But we are, so many of us are out of sync and off rhythm because we're not doing that. And we're surrounded by the examples of rhythm in life, in nature. The sun comes up, comes down. The moon has its cycles. You know, the body has its rhythm. But unfortunately, we find ourselves in a state where too many of us are caught in this loop. And that loop could look like so many different things, right? It could be, and it often begins with that negative self-talk. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not valuable enough. I'm not, you know, I'm depressed or I'm overwhelmed or I can't do it or I'm not good enough.
This is never going to work out or this is never going to be fixed.
We find every reason and lock on to every reason why it's not. Right. And so we get stuck there. We're in this never ending loop. And as you said, you know, our mind, it's our thoughts. They take control. And I am guilty of this as well. This happens to all of us at some point in time. And some are just more acutely aware or intentionally taking steps to interrupt that, as you did. But the point is that we get caught in our thoughts. And it's very and it pulls us very quickly, very quickly. The momentum builds more quickly than we realize. And what happens is our thoughts inform our feelings. And so the thoughts that we have will then take us down this path where we begin to we feel that in our body, in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit. And so then, we go into, oh, I'm depressed, or, you know, it manifests into another physical form in some way, shape, or form. But what we need to understand, and that's where you have people like yourself who talk about it, health coaches like me and others who understand that that is the process. We need to attach ourselves or expose ourselves or take note of the seeds that are planted that help us to interrupt that pattern. Because there are steps that you can take to help you to step out of that. And the first thing is recognizing that our environment, meaning the society, the world that we live, unfortunately, the reality is, it really isn't structured in a way to help us to stay within our rhythm or on in rhythm, right?
It's really important that people recognize that generally speaking, we live in an extractive world. Okay, it is trying to take something from you often, regularly, right? You know, whether you're sitting there watching television and you engage with your television, but basically they're trying to sell you something, get your money out your pocket, right? And that's why they do all this entertainment for you. But it's always, this is extraction. Seldom, other than in nature, is the world trying to give you something.
Yes.
The sun is trying to give you vitamin D. Right? The plants are giving you oxygen. Almost everything in nature is giving, not extractive.
Right.
Human beings are the most extractive on planet Earth.
Exactly.
And even in our relationships, there's extraction.
Yes.
Well, what can you do for me? And most of us don't even realize the minute we see somebody, a stranger, the question is, can that person do anything for me? Subliminally, we're asking that. And if the answer is no, we treat them just like strangers.
Exactly.
If the answer is yes, we treat them differently. But we are very extractive.
That is right. And all of that extraction is depleting us. Depleting us in ways that we know and sometimes we ignore. And wait till it gets too far, and then we got to pull it back, go through, jump through hoops to try and bring balance again, homeostasis, right? To bring that balance and get back into our rhythm. And again, some are more aware of this than others, but I think as a health coach, the founder of Seedlings Place, one of my part of my purpose and what my intention is to help people to raise the awareness and make people aware, as opposed to and be a part of the interruption then. A part of the interruption of our thoughts to bring awareness to understanding what is happening and what that leads to. And here are the options and possibilities if you make some changes. Right?
We have to take a break, but here let's do this when we come back. Let's talk about if somebody wanted a vision for wellness for themselves. Let's talk about what that looks like.
Absolutely.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Relang, your host. So glad you could join us. Today I am here with Rhonda Wright of Seedlings Place. We're talking about wellness, and we're going to be back in a minute to continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, She hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Be alive and get rewarded. Introducing Alive Rewards for prepaid and postpaid in the My Alive app. With Alive Rewards, get cash back, monthly credits, and data when you pay, stay, refer, assist, and earn. For postpaid, get 2 GB of bonus data when you pay for your bill 3 months in a row. For prepaid, get 5% cash back when you purchase in the My Alive app. For everyone, refer a friend and get $25 for you and $25 for your friend when they switch to Alive. Log on to bealive.com for more info and more ways to get rewarded. Alive Rewards. We are alive.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Gulang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we are speaking with Rhonda Wright of Seedlings Place. We're talking about wellness today. If at some point you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us at 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me at 439-3043. You know, Rhonda, I have taken the time to understand what normal measurements are for many of my vital or critical biological functions, whether that's pressure or cholesterol or sugar and these kinds of things. I also took some time to think through what it means to have a healthy sense of mental wellness and so forth. I try to find physical representations of what they say when they say you should maximum of one teaspoon of salt a day. So I actually have that represented by measuring that out at the beginning in the morning and using that during the course of the day, and similarly for sugar and these kinds of things. The reason why I do that is because I want to visualize the outcomes that I'm striving for or the things that I'm doing, because I think it makes life more manageable. When we talk about people being well, what are we talking about?
So the first thing I want to indicate is for people to remember that health and wellness is multidimensional, and that relates to what I just talked about. The primary foods, secondary foods, it's not any one thing, right? Mm. So we shouldn't ideally look at anything in isolation, because they all work together simultaneously. Right. Two, it's bio-individual. And so whereas there is a base, and from a food perspective, I'll give you a guidance on what that means. But whereas there is go back to basics that we can look at as it regards to food, for example, what works for one won't necessarily work for the other. But like you said, there are line of indicators that you can consider. My recommendation to understand, because what you spoke to was, again, food related, right? But when you talk about health and wellness from an overall perspective, the ideal way, or one way that it can be approached, is one, to be aware of all of those various factors. That's number one. And number two, to consistently, regularly assess those various factors. find time to pause and stop or stop long enough to bring attention to it. Because a part of the challenge is, again, we're on this never-ending loop and we're not taking a pause. I was talking to a sister friend of mine yesterday. She's a mindfulness coach, a part of my Love Yourself team, Dale Marshall. And she said, pausing is underrated. Pausing is underrated. And that's because we live in a world that says, go, 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 convenience, convenience, move, move, got to get this done, hustle mentality. And that's where we stay. But at the end of the day, what helps us to propel best is when we rest. Again, going back to nature, animal is sick. Let's just, you know, most of us have dogs, right? So when a dog isn't well, most times, what do you see them do? They go lay down, they ain't eating, they're resting because they need their body to focus all of the energy on what? Healing.
Yes.
And getting better. But we don't take the time to do that. We have this amazing machine, our body, which really has the capacity to heal itself when we do what is needed, right? When we go back to that baseline. It has the capacity to heal itself, but we are doing so many things that are opposite what is needed in order for that to manifest. And so some of the things that I want to guide people, let's talk about food, for example, very basic, because I've been a plant-based eater for 20 plus years. Started Seedlings Place in 2007. And so as I've guided and supported and coached people, I found some very, you know, some similar things across the board in terms of the why people have the challenges that they do to make adjustments, changes in lifestyle, and then to stick with it. And so I find that it is always best to speak at all and then go from there, because people struggle with just getting started, right? Just getting started. And so how do we begin to do that? Approach it as a lifestyle. We are in a diet world where we want something quick, fast. We want that magic miracle pill or answer or response, right? To be able to just fix it. Essentially what we're looking for is, I just want a Band-Aid. We're not calling it that, but we just want something quick so I could move on. Again, not giving or taking the time to pause and really assess and understand what is happening within us, right? Mentally, physically, emotionally, environmentally, or otherwise. But when we look at it from a lifestyle perspective, then we're understanding that this is for the long haul. This is not just one thing that I'm tapping into, but I want to look at it from a long-term overall perspective. And when we take that approach, clearly we are able to have results that take us into longevity as opposed to a short-term fix, something that we do for now, then we go back to the regular thing and the cycle repeats itself, right?
Because generally most of us, if our bodies aren't calling any undue attention to itself, we just keep doing what we're doing, even if what we're doing is bad. When it starts calling attention to itself, negative attention, because it's sick. A leg is painful, the chest is congested or something, then we pay attention. But basically what happens is we only want something to fix that symptom. And as long as that symptom's fixed, we go back to the same thing. And you're saying we have to invest in this asset for the long haul.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have to also pay attention to those indicators, meaning pay attention to those symptoms. Because unfortunately, because we remain in this loop, we're always going, when those symptoms arise, we brush it off, we don't pay attention to it, we don't take action, and then it leads to chronic, those symptoms are really as a result of chronic inflammation, which oftentimes happens over a period of time. It's not an overnight thing. So if we think about it, we've actually been experiencing this probably for a while, but we wasn't checking for it. And then we wait until it manifests into something great. Fortunately, it becomes full-blown disease, right?
So yeah, I literally believe people should learn to have conversations with themselves, right? I mean, like basically, I mean, your body is talking to you.
Oh,
right?
All the time. Your body informs you all the time. But right. We are not listening. We're not listening. We ignore those signs that become symptoms that then move into something else, right? Because when we find ourselves again off our rhythm, our body will let us know in some way, shape, or form. The degree obviously varies. And unfortunately, we move most often due to pain, whether it's our own or a relative who was sick. And that's a wake-up call for us. And that's when we tend to move most quickly. Unfortunately, we're not many of us fortunately, more of us are, but many of us are not proactive. And so we wait until, and so we're responsive as opposed to preventative. And that's another part of our challenge.
Now, you know, for lots of people, I know, like, even if I knew that I wasn't as healthy as I needed to be and there were things going on that I needed to rectify, the path to wellness can be really confusing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a
You're
ton
right.
of information out there.
You're right.
All kinds of YouTube videos out there, all kinds of articles out there. And you're reading this thing and the next thing. And sometimes something is saying, you know, I know you heard this, but that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth. It could be really confusing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And so how does somebody approach this issue of, you know what, I recognize I need to do better. How do I start?
You are absolutely right. It is immensely confusing. And that's one of those loops we find ourselves in. And so because it's so confusing, there's so much information out there, then unfortunately, oftentimes we do nothing, right? Because it's just too much. Don't know where to start, et cetera, et cetera. And so when we're looking to address our lifestyle, whether it's a particular area or in general, we want to make overall lifestyle changes, it's important to connect yourself with a community. Community is a community of like-minded, let me be clear, a community of like-minded people who can help you to support you along the journey, to answer questions, to inspire you, to encourage you. Hopefully that community is attached to someone who is knowledgeable, who can help to give guidance as well. For example, Seedlings Place, through the programs that we have or our social media pages, our mailing list, as the health coach, the person who is leading Seedlings Place, and with the experience over the 20 years that I've had, the multitude of, you know, just trainings, etc., certifications, allows me to provide information. Not that I know everything, but my experience has taught me much that I know, and I'm able to guide through that. And to provide support and information through those things. And so you want to seek out a community, seek out somebody who is credible, who is knowledgeable, who has gone through it themselves, who is experienced with what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And I can't, stress the importance of your tribe, finding your community to help you on the journey.
You
don't want to go it alone, ideally,
right?
Because we don't live in a vacuum. We're communal people, people of African descent. We're all, you know, naturally, we're also communal. And that community helps to undergird you when there's bad days or hard days, when you don't feel like it. The community will lift you up. And again, I'm speaking from experience. When I began my transition, what helped me tremendously was the fact that the people who I came into contact with, my husband, my now husband, he wasn't at the time, friends, were all vegan, the majority of them. So that community is what helped me to navigate all the questions, the confusion, and the times when it's like, oh my God, I missed this, and my first detox, all that kind of stuff. That was paramount in helping me to succeed and to get where I am. So that is important, right? I can't undergird that. You were about to comment as well.
Only to endorse it to this extent. Think about this, right? The habits we have eating-wise and physically, and a lot of those habits is because of the tribes we have.
Mm-hmm.
We eat like our family tribe. And the leadership of that tribe, whether it's the mother or the father or both, they guide us in what you eat. And
yeah,
we learn and adapt and practice and habituate all of that for good or for not so good.
Right.
And so if we're gonna, and that works, it worked because the basically our appetites and habits reflect the conditioning of that tribe.
Absolutely.
And when things went wrong for us, the tribe came in and supported us and helped us and so forth.
Yeah.
And if now you're trying to do something different, you are it as powerful as that tribe was. You need a powerful tribe in the opposite direction with leadership capable of giving you some new guidance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Something else that I want to add to that, and this is going back to your previous question in terms of what does wellness look like? Go back to the basics. Let me talk about what worked, what works, what worked, what doesn't work. Oftentimes it takes us right back to the basics. Again, people are always asking, well, what do I need to do to heal this or to work on this, to do this? And it's interesting because it comes back to the to the same basic behaviors, right? So again, from a food perspective, what does that look like? Let's increase our whole nutrient dense foods. And that's packaged under a number of different labels. And I've come to the place in my journey where the labels are important for other reasons, but when it comes down to now I need to make some changes, they aren't that important. But we get caught up in vegan and vegetarianism and raw food and all kinds of different things, and then they pit one against the other, what makes sense, what doesn't. Then to all of that, let's just focus on what does that entail, right? So what does that entail? Whole nutrient-dense foods, which no matter what label you want to put on it, we want to talk about fresh, ideally, as often as you can. Seasonal, ideally, particularly for people who like us, who live in this region where we have access to it, right? Fruits and vegetables, and a multitude of colors of those fruits and vegetables. Eat the rainbow is always one of my basic, fundamental recommendations. A very high-quality protein source. And when I say a high-quality protein source, that will give you more of the things that your body needs and minimize the things that your body doesn't need. And so for me, as a plant-based eater, my protein sources are primarily legumes. There's quinoa, for example. There's nuts and seeds. And all foods, we know that the macronutrients are proteins, carbohydrates, and fats, right? So all foods have protein. It's just obviously some have more than others. But you want a high protein, quality protein source. Healthy fats, important. We live in a world where much of what we are consuming is saturated fats, which is not good for us, right? We want poly or monosaturated fats, which are the healthier fats for us. You also want to look at herbs and spices. Again, underrated. We don't pay enough attention to those small things that can bring value and that can improve our physical state as well as our overall well-being.
We have to take a break. But when we come back, let's continue on the track, because I do have one or two questions related to some of the things you just said. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivaga Lang, your host. I'm here with Rhonda Wright of Seedlings Place. We're talking about wellness, folks. And so when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services, from click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Shanae's Chesapeake Road Christmas Wonderland is open under the Big Tent. Get your Christmas trees in pink, frosted, green, or white in a variety of sizes. Musical Christmas LED and laser lights. A large variety of tree ornaments. Lighted angels and Santa tree toppers. Bright and lively colored Christmas balls in all sizes. Garlands, wreaths, tree skirts, stockings, and lots more. Add flowers, picks, and decorative mesh to brighten up your home or office this holiday season. And don't forget the toys at Shanae's Chesapeake Road. Check our selections online at www.shanae's.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand,
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today as we speak with Rhonda Wright of Seedlings Place, talking wellness today. Rhonda, somebody sent a text, said, great show as usual. Mr. Lang, I always listen to your show, but you picked the wrong time for this topic today. Christmas coming up. We need our 2 plates of ham, turkey, fish, crawfish, coleslaw, sweet potatoes, crab and rice and stuffing and macaroni. And that's on one plate and salad on the next plate. And we
will here's the reality.
Wash it down. And wash it down with a Diet Coke, and that's just the starter plate. it good in the Bahamas on Christmas. And don't forget the fruitcake and rum cake.
Listen, I'm mad at you, you know, but here's the reality. Unfortunately, we spend most of the year eating just like that. It ain't much different, just a little more.
Only a little bit more.
Exactly.
Fooling ourselves. Did he put the macaroni there?
And so at the end of the day, we want the conversation, because as we now prepare for a new year, we want to bring more attention to understanding. We have to give our lives, our bodies space to be able to let our hair down during those times. So for other times of the year, when we don't naturally move into relaxing certain things that we may normally do, we want to be cognizant of what is more ideal, so that we're not overworking this machine. We're working this machine too hard, and then we wonder why it breaks down.
I told my 14-year-old son, I said, now, this is November. Christmas is coming, so we're cutting back severely so that in the Christmas, we could indulge a bit.
There you go. That is a beautiful approach, and I applaud you for that. I applaud you for leading your children to do the same, because, again, back to the rhythms. When we talk about detoxing or fasting, one of the guidances are that the best times, well, first of all, create a rhythm for it. And the best times when you're talking about doing a deeper detox or fasting is usually around seasons. And so the winter season, you know, the beginning part of December is a beautiful time to take that break, to allow your body to take a rest, to be in alignment with that period of the year where we're able to focus inwardly and focus on spiritually manifesting things and taking our mind, body, and spirits there, so that we can then rejuvenate and prepare for what is to come. So I think that's fabulous that you're doing that, which I'm actually going to be doing myself. I'm turning 50 December 31st. That's a powerful turning point for me. And so December 1st, I'm using the entire month to do some things. And I'll share more about that on my social media pages. But kudos to you for doing that.
But, you know, I have also found a very useful way of life in intermittent fasting. I don't know about other people, but I'm just explaining for myself. Prior to intermittent fasting, I was pre-diabetic. Cholesterol was borderline high and a number of other things, right? And I entered into that intermittent fasting phase. I went to do my annual physical, and the numbers were all good. And the lady told me, you know, the doctor, if you were pre-diabetic, there's no sign of it now, et cetera. And I attribute it to that intermittent fasting and to the extent to which it allowed my body to really take some opportunity to properly digest food and do what I had to do. Of course, I also, my eating habits and so forth. And like these days, I don't cook with anything other than olive oil or coconut oil.
And intermittent fasting is powerful, which... and I'm not sure if your intermittent fasting takes you to eating the solid foods or the heavier foods at 12 or 2, because the eating window, you know...
12
o'clock, 12. Beautiful.
Yes, I have a 15-hour window, yes.
Yeah, yes. And I think that that is fabulous. And the reason for me as a health coach and in my programs, I actually guide people. I don't have to get into the scientific terms, right? But that's what it is. But I guide them that... when you are seeking to make shifts and adjustments and create a rhythm, you want that rhythm to be in alignment with the body's circadian rhythm, which means that, of course, that's tied to our wake and sleep hours, but it's also tied to what the body is doing at different times of the day, which also guides us on what is the most ideal way to eat at different times of the day. And between 4 a.m. and 12 p.m., the body ideally is trying to continue its elimination process, trying to get rid of things that it would have taken in through the assimilation digestion and assimilation of the food that it ate. And so lightening the morning is the ideal. Or if you're going to consume it, you want to consume high water-based foods, fruits, juices, smoothies, that kind of thing, as opposed to what we have traditionally been told that we should or we've been raised to eat, because that's causing the body to work harder or again go in the opposite direction to what it is trying to do. It's trying now to that's why when you wake up in the morning, you want to use the bathroom, to pee or to defecate, right? Because it's now trying to get rid of, to release. It's pulled out what it needs, and now it's trying to get rid of the toxins and whatever else is there in the bloodstream that's sitting waiting to be released out of the colon so that it can prepare itself to go back into the next rhythm, which is digesting. But we have diverted the body's energy from the elimination to digesting. And of course, because we're taking in the heavier foods, it slows down the elimination. And so the intermittent fasting, why it works is because it's in alignment with what the body is trying to do. Plus, we are reducing the stress and using less energy because it is now focusing on more healing as opposed to digestion energy, right, in the body. And so I applaud that. That's something that I endorse. I do myself. And it also allows us to detox on a daily basis. You're actually detoxing on a daily basis in a gentle way, where because if you're not eating until 12 again, you've lightened the system, you're allowing its body to do its job, which means that it increases the probability of the functioning of your system. And so the daily detoxing is what I definitely endorse and encourage through the intermittent fasting process.
This text says, good afternoon, excellent show. The mind is naturally peaceful. We were born with a purified mind. Mm-hmm. As we grow, it gets bogged down with conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And that I believe that.
No, for sure. For sure.
Yeah,
and it starts earlier than we realize. It starts as early as the womb, truthfully, because all the behaviors, the patterns that we have, that we take with us, begin from childhood. Again, the nurturance or the nature, what we are taught or what we are exposed to from the environment. And we pull all of that forward with us. And unless we become aware and intentionally bring attention to these things, we may be carrying with us patterns that don't serve us, behaviors that don't serve us well, not realizing in our subconscious, which controls and guides what we're doing, whether we know it or not, right? And informs our thoughts and takes us down a certain path. And if we do not become aware of this, we don't, again, going right back to what I said at the beginning, interrupt the pattern and then detour, shift that pattern to develop other patterns and habits so that we can become more in alignment with what it should be.
We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon to your guests.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, this is great information. I like the concept of the intermittent fasting or the ketogenic diet, right? And so I just wanted to add to the conversation that a lot of people are missing out. I heard Lang talk about salt and sugar initially at the beginning of the show, right? And so then I juxtapose the effect of sugar on the body itself as far as a whole metabolic syndrome, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I see where the salt, a lot of people are confused about salt. What happens is with the modern salt in the shop, it comes from Inagua. What happens is the sea has 92 minerals. So the fact that sodium, and the sodium is mostly, might say the seawater is about 30% sodium, and the chloride. So when you evaporate it and you leave the sodium chloride precipitates, right? You leave behind the other 90 minerals. So that in itself creates an imbalance. So it's not the salt itself. So once the salt is balanced with the minerals and you take it properly, then it will create the right intra and extracellular movement out the cell and into the cell. So it's like a balance. So if you have an imbalance of salt, then you would have high blood pressure. And also, Lang was correct on the sugar, because what happens is the sugar in itself, the refined sugar, is granulated. Lang did chemistry. So what that simply means is the body absorbs it too fast because it has a high surface area, because that's why you granulate it. That's why we granulate chemicals. That's why you granulate detergents, so you could get a better reaction surface area. So being that salt and sugar is granulated, that gives the sugar also a high uptake. So that's why you get this sugar rush, all right? And it also leads to microglia dysfunction. This is being seen in mice and in the laboratory where it causes the microglia. It breaches the blood-brain barrier. It goes into the brains, and it actually causes dysfunction in that the microglia is supposed to kill or eat up all the dead cells, but it actually attacks healthy nerve cells, causing plaquing of the brains and a whole host of metabolic events. So, and this lady is very informative, and I like the idea of the defecating on time in the morning. Most people don't know that. And I also do what you do as far as eating the foods high in micronutrients and low in calories. Mm-hmm. So some mornings I may just suck an olives and eat grapefruit and banana and things like that. You see what I'm saying, like? Just because I think what's inside my stomach wastes the heavy food, I move into that later on down the line.
Right.
And then they have a flourless bread. So you want to cut down the carbohydrates. But the thing is
refined carbohydrates.
Yeah. Of course, they have the complex, but all basically does the same. It just take a longer time. I wanted to share something about...
I got like 3 minutes, and I got to give my guests a little bit of time
to finish. Yeah, but it's a great show, but don't, you know...
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm, we appreciate the information.
Absolutely.
Just quickly, let me say that this text says that's ancient Chinese philosophy. I think they were talking about what we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that those old people knew was best for us all our smartphones.
Ain't that something? But
because we're going to have, about 2 minutes before we go, just to say, one of the things I wanted to say is, We also pass these bad habits of mind and body onto our children.
Absolutely.
Because one of the things I'm fearful of doing, concerned about doing, is not teaching my son to fret.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because, you know, they need to play. We get upset, like, when they're playing. They should be playing more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
I only tell him, listen, when you've done what you're supposed to do, you can do anything you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But...
And that is true, because we often pass on our children our own fears, not intentionally necessarily, but that is what is happening when we don't allow them to be, you know, to live.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And just to wrap up, I wanted to just quickly add a few other things just to help people to understand how to proceed. Understanding that lifestyle, it's bio-individual. And one of the things that you can do is focus on crowding out, which means that you're focusing on adding more of what I describe, whole foods and the other things that I mentioned, as opposed to even beginning to think about what I have to eliminate. Crowd out some of those other things. And as you do that, you may realize that the cravings decrease, your energy increases, because you're adding to the body what it needs more than what it doesn't need. Of course, hydration is also important. So less added sugars, preservatives, saturated fats, and unfamiliar ingredients. So when you take those basic steps, this is back to the question that you asked of what does wellness ideally look like, then your body will tell you. That's the point that I'm making. Bio-individual means that you will be able to know, based on your body talking to you and informing you, when you are assessing the primary foods and the secondary foods.
Get the process right and the results come.
You got it. Exactly.
All right. Listen, you got to come back. We appreciate your coming. We should have a continuous conversation about these matters.
Yes.
And I look forward to your coming back.
Same
Rhonda
here.
Wright, Seedlings Place.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, listening to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we're going to talk some PM, Public Works, FTX. We'll be back after this break. Through the storm, won't let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road. Can't complain, man.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So I'm reading the Nassau Guardian. It has a story written by Travis Cartwright Carroll saying PM denies statement Sayers made in House of BPL fuel hedge issue. Okay, so as the story is reported, Prime Minister, who was also Minister of Finance, maintained in the House of Assembly that he had no knowledge that the Bahamas Power and Light Fuel Hedge Committee had made a request last fall for fuel hedge trades to be executed to lock in oil prices. Although the Minister of Works, Alfred Sayers, told Parliament last Wednesday that it was the Minister of Vision. Wow. Okay, folks. Okay, listen to me. Like, I know in our country, we are and can be extremely partisan about our politics. I have no difficulty with that. Love your party, man. Love your party. You want to love your party? Love your party. UFNM, BFNM, UPLP, BPLP, UDNA, BDNA, UCOI, BCOI. I have no difficulty. Be passionate about it. No difficulty with that whatsoever. I also know that we gloss over some things in this country really to our hurt. I mean, we treat them as absolutely nothing, right? It's you know, it's cool. But I want you to listen to what this report is suggesting. That a minister of the cabinet of the Bahamas, appointed by the prime minister of the cabinet of the Bahamas, asserted not that the Ministry of Finance, but that the Minister of Finance made a decision not to execute a fuel hedge request made by BPL. The Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance comes back and says he had no such knowledge of saying. Where is this an issue that is okay? Where is this an issue that is just not profoundly troubling? Profoundly. At the very least, this discrepancy deserves an explanation. How is it that the Minister of Public Works has a view of something, as gives a report of something that is directly contradicted by the prime minister? Now let me say something to you as a by way of lesson. Disagree with each other. That is true. Ministers can disagree on policy. Ministers can disagree on the interpretation of something, on the recollection of something, that is true. What happens is when that disagreement happens, whether it happens privately or publicly, it is the prime minister's responsibility to iron out that disagreement. He is the chairman of the cabinet, which is a committee of ministers. His responsibility, so that his government is always on the same page so that there's unity of government, one of his responsibilities is to ensure that where disputes arise between ministers, he can settle those disputes. In this instance, he is at the center of the dispute. Because his Minister of Public Works says, no, a request was made to the Ministry of Finance, and the Minister of Finance did not accede to the request. Now, this in itself is peculiar to me because when I first heard the story, the Minister of Public Works indicated that he was unaware of any request to begin with. I think you will recall that from previous stories. He said, in fact, even what he saw was not so much a request as it was a note giving information, right? But in point of fact, the leader of the opposition disclosed a letter written by then CEO of BPL to the minister, which in effect represented a request for the hedge. That we glossed over. We did. We just glossed over it. We went on to the next thing. Right? The minister is saying there was a request. Now, I want you to listen now. If you read further in the story, not only is the minister saying there was a request, listen to what the minister says, according to this article. Says, the draft cabinet paper is addressed to the Minister of Finance for the Minister of Finance's consideration. The Minister of Finance communicated that based on what was presented, it was not supported. That determination was communicated in October 2021, and what is the relevance? Okay, now, this is the minister saying, not only was it communicated to the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance, it was communicated by way of draft cabinet paper. Now, let me explain to you what happens with cabinet papers. Every cabinet paper, so a cabinet minister, so it could be the Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture, it could be the Minister of Agriculture, it could be the Minister of the Public Service, it doesn't matter. Every cabinet paper that has financial implications for the government, is routinely sent to the Minister of Finance for consideration. That is a standard practice. Every permanent secretary who's responsible for drafting these cabinet papers, ministers don't typically draft them. I mean, some of us have written our own, but these are all prepared essentially by the bureaucracy. Okay, and so the permanent secretary ultimately is responsible for getting that cabinet paper for the minister to review and then agree for carrying forward to the cabinet. But it has financial implications. Before it is sent to cabinet, it is copied and sent to the Ministry of Finance for consideration, because if the Ministry of Finance says, well, you can't even fund this, then it don't make no sense you carrying the cabinet paper. Or sometimes the Ministry of Finance, what happens is the Minister of Finance will send his comment and say, no, we do not agree, we do not approve. Or might say, yes, we agree or approve. Or will say these words, that the minister will present his views at the table. That's what happens typically. But as long as it has financial implications, it goes to the Minister of Finance. Now, BPL is asking for a hedge to be done. That's a financial implication. Because if the hedge fails, BPL ends up with overture, and that overture requires subsidization. Who has to find the money? The Minister of Finance. So it is not incredulous at all that the Minister of Public Works says, no, a draft cabinet paper, and it went to the Minister of Finance for consideration, and the Minister of Finance came back and said, no, we don't approve now. So you have two cabinet ministers saying diametrically opposed things for which I can have an explanation. I could offer an explanation. I don't know that this is what happened, but I could offer an explanation. See, there are two kinds of ministers. You can have a minister who takes a laissez-faire approach to his ministry or certain parts of it. Or you can have a minister who is activist in his ministry, in all of it or certain parts of it. Hubert Alexander Ingram was an activist minister, prime minister, and minister of finance. He was activist, meaning he was curious about everything and things going on in the ministry. Sometimes, cryptically, he might make a comment to me that suggested, well, why don't I know about that? Sometimes, you know, when he felt like being cute that way. I got the message, though, Shivago, I need to know about some of this stuff. Maybe because somebody whispered to him X, Y, and Z, lying them doing this, that, and the next thing. Because while he was Minister of Finance, the portfolio minister, I was responsible for running the Ministry of Finance. Right? On a daily basis for him. And so some things I was doing, he might not have been acutely aware of, but his note to me, his point to me was, but he was an activist. So a laissez-faire minister could leave many things to be done by the technicians and the bureaucracy. So while the Ministry of Finance or the minister or the Ministry of Agriculture, somebody may have in fact made a determination, didn't absolutely mean that the minister knew, because the minister took the kind of approach to the whole thing that said, you're the technician, you deal with it. Yeah. And maybe they were told, but just, you know, at the end of the day, say, yeah, carry on. Until the stuff hit the ceiling. Now, people start trying to cover their backside. That could happen. So that it could be true, in quote, that the prime minister, for instance, and minister of finance did not know or said he did not have knowledge of, because in fact he wasn't an active observer and participator in this particular thing and left it to the others. Maybe it was the Minister of Economic Affairs. Maybe it was the Financial Secretary. But he himself wasn't really absorbed with that. And so maybe he didn't really have any knowledge. And he didn't, given all the other things he's dealing with and thought important, he didn't think that that was something he had to delve himself into. But in point of fact, the ministry acted for him and he ought to have known the situation. So the Minister of Public Affairs, Public Works, ain't telling a lie when he say, well, it went to the Ministry of Finance, to the Minister of Finance. I can tell you on a routine basis, something like on the desk of the Minister of Finance. But that don't mean that the Minister of Finance is paying the kind of attention to it that now permits him to say, yes, I'm aware of it and I made the determination not to. I can very easily see how that did not get to him. If you are not an activist in that component and part of your ministry, because as I understand it, the Ministry of Finance isn't being run on a day-to-day basis by the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance. I think Minister Halkidis is really responsible in large measure for the Ministry of Finance. Just as Minister of State, I would have been, and just as Minister of State, when he was Minister of State, he would have been in the Ministry of Finance. But that's my explanation for it. I mean, that's my plausible explanation for it. This is the government of the Bahamas with two ministers, two very senior ministers, saying diametrically opposed things. And that's not okay. That in governance, that is not okay. That has to be resolved. Because on the one hand, either somebody is ill-informed, or somebody is ill-advised, or somebody is misinformed or somebody is deceiving, or somebody is ignorant of the facts. And none of those things are good. Or maybe just there needs to be more details to elucidate what in fact was the case. But this is not a thing to be glossed over. I'm sorry. I know how we go. You know, this isn't a question of corruption and nobody. This isn't that, no, but you can't have two government ministers saying diametrically opposed things. In fact, the public works ministers essentially saying, Prime Minister, but you made this decision. And the Prime Minister say, I don't know nothing about it. Really? See? Listening to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Thinking of adding a little color? No better time to give your house a facelift than during the Colors Free promotion at CBS Bahamas. When you purchase Pride and Lambert paint from CBS, color is absolutely free. You heard it right. You don't get charged for mixing colors. Now you can paint the outside, the inside, and all the accent walls a different color and save big all at the same time. Who knows? You can use that extra cash to watch a movie, get some food, or even grab a coffee. Visit CBS Bahamas today in the Southwest Plaza, where color is free.
The secret is out. Thursdays have gone TCL at Alive. Thursday, November 17th and November 24th, you can save big on select TCL devices. Shop early for the holidays and get the best deals on devices starting as low as $19. Alive has doorbuster specials, TCL savings, and more. So stop, drop, and run to your nearest Alive location closest to you. We are Alive. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. Beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I don't want y'all to get mad with me. This is a talk show. We comment on the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so I just was, you know, I like you. I read the newspapers. And as I read, you know, things strike me. And so I then say, you know, wow, this is interesting, you know, especially with the insider view that I have in government, some of the things become even more clear to me. And I thought in reading the story by Travis that the blatant contradiction of each other by the Prime Minister and the Minister of Public Works, both of whom are very senior cabinet ministers, really was worthy of some note. I do not accuse anyone of lying. I do not accuse anyone of misleading, et cetera. But I do know that standing as it is, it does invite some serious, serious questioning. Right? Now, I happen to know that meetings, very deliberate efforts were made by BPL and BPL's previous board to have this matter addressed by the Ministry of Finance. I happen to know what is reported to me as the outcome of those. So I'm not in the dark that very serious overtures were made to the Ministry of Finance in relation to this matter. In fact, in March of this year, Paige McCartney wrote a story on this matter. And, you know, she wrote that although Financial Secretary Simon Wilson said the Ministry of Finance supports fuel hedging at Bahamas Power and Light, it is unclear if the government has approved any hedging exercises since it came to power in September. Guardian Business understands hedging takes place every quarter, but could not get a definitive answer yesterday on if the government approved the last two exercises. And this is a quote from Simon Wilson. Now Simon Wilson is the Financial Secretary. We are not involved at the Ministry of. We think it's sound financial management at BPL, but we are not directly involved in the approval process. If done correctly, it's sound financial management, Wilson said when contacted yesterday. So this is the Financial Secretary. He is the principal technical advisor and administrative leader in the ministry, fiscal administrative leader in the Ministry of Finance. And he says, notwithstanding that the Minister of Public Works is saying a draft cabinet paper was sent to the Minister of Finance, and the Minister of Finance came back and said it did not agree with the request. Notwithstanding that, the Financial Secretary is saying, we are not involved at the Ministry of Finance. So let me ask you a question. So did the board of BPL not understand that it could make this decision by itself? Because if the Ministry of Finance is not involved, who could be involved in the government of the Bahamas with saying to the board of BPL, go ahead and execute the hedge? If the Ministry of Finance, would it have been the Ministry of Economic Affairs? But the Minister of Economic Affairs is routinely at the Ministry of Finance to deal with finance matters for the Prime Minister. So if the Ministry of Finance is not involved, then why didn't the board just go ahead and execute it? Was it Public Works as the minister responsible for the board? Should they have just gotten the approval then why did the Public Works send the matter to the Ministry of Finance? Because it's financial implications. This text says, Mr. Lang, whatever the circumstances, the sad reality is that Alfred Sayre should never put the prime minister in the position he has put the PM in. Absolutely. Sayre has no choice but to resign. Besides that, it is also clear that Mr. Davis is too far removed from the functions of governing. He needs to slow down on travel and stick to knitting. Wow. You know, well, let's put it like this. The only way Sayre resigns is if the prime minister requires him to do so. Calling for his resignation will not make him resign. He serves at the pleasure of the prime minister. The prime minister still takes pleasure in his service. There's no thing. If the prime minister doesn't have a difficulty with his minister telling him that he did something that he says he has no knowledge of, there's no problem. No problem whatsoever, right? But as it stands, it certainly doesn't have a good look, right? It is really, really something. I've seen ministers contradict each other. And I've seen instances in which ministers have contradicted, have said something, and the prime minister comes behind and corrects it, as you've seen the present prime minister do with it, right? This one is a direct, really assertion that the prime minister either doesn't know what's going on or doesn't remember what's going on or is being deceptive about what's going on. And that's profound to me. And I think it needs to be clarified and it needs to be cleaned up if it's possible, right? But it is something. So Shivago, love it. Love, if lost 25 pounds without dieting, but also walk daily. Oh man, this is your talk. This is like an almost 40 minutes later, 30 minutes after we've talked about that. I'm sorry, we have kind of moved on to something else now. Maybe something came through late. All right, anyway, we'll see how that continues to evolve. Says, can you explain if there is any situation where a cabinet paper doesn't reach cabinet? I'm assuming that the issue wasn't quality. It seems like the position paper would have been written in conjunction with the IDB. No, man. IDB don't have the Bahamas write cabinet papers, right? No. A draft cabinet paper doesn't have to reach cabinet, but that's not the point. This wasn't a question of it going to cabinet. It went to the prime minister's office. It went to the Ministry of Finance, as draft cabinet papers with financial implications do. It's not a question of whether it went to cabinet. That wasn't what Alfred Sayre said. He said it went to the Minister of Finance, right? And that's standard for papers that have financial implications. It is possible for a draft paper to be rejected and therefore have to go back and be cleaned, but in this instance, that wasn't the issue. The issue was that the draft went to the prime minister, to the Minister of Finance, and the Minister of Finance made a decision on the draft. No, so it wasn't even a question of it needing to go to cabinet. He made a decision. This text says, okay, so my question is, if the prime minister doesn't think that the cost of energy is important enough to pay attention to, what other national issues does he not care about? Wow, okay, I don't know if that's what he thinks, but... This text is Mr. Lang, the Pontius Pilate spirit is still alive. The PM appears to have already called for his basin of water. Okay. This text is, if your plausible explanation is correct, who would be held responsible for the rejection of the hedging? If my explanation is correct, ultimately the Minister of Finance would be responsible. In any event, it's a financial matter. It's a fiscal issue. It's a matter of cost savings to a government enterprise, a financial issue. So that's always on the Minister of Finance. This text says, why did Barbados not allow FTX to be registered there? I can't tell you. Says somebody lying. Yes, I used to. Okay. This text is lying. The PM failed to act in this instance. As a result, he should own up to it and apologize. Well, is the PM, are you saying the PM is owning up to actually not seeing the paper or seeing the paper, right? We got to take a break, another break, ladies and gentlemen. Producer, is there a break? I mean, because I'm... No, we don't have a break now. We don't have a break now. No, we don't have a break. We don't have a break. All right, this text is good afternoon. okay, so... Yeah. Anyway, we'll have to see how this all evolves. This text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. I still can't understand how come gas prices going down in the U.S. significantly, but up going up in New Providence. I can't help you with that. I can't help you with that. Anyways, so Moody's released a report, a credit outlook report the other day. And in its report, Moody's commented on FTX's situation. Says on 18, I'm reading from the proposal in Moody's report, says on 18th November, FTX updated its bankruptcy filing. The initial 11 November filing and subsequent update have elevated concerns about crypto assets, especially those whose value is largely supported by related party valuations. We believe that the key to limiting investors' risk, remember I talked about risk, of future FTX-like defaults is to require a consistent and appropriate basis of measurement and strong supplemental disclosures. This should help investors to understand the value, performance, and risk profile of crypto assets in companies' audited financial statements. So let's break this down. First of all, so what Moody's is saying is that you look at FTX, what you see is an example of the continuing concerns around crypto assets valuation, especially when that, what do they mean by that? So you say this cryptocurrency is worth $100,000. That's what you say. That's what the company says. That's what the crypto asset cryptocurrency issuer says. It's worth $100,000. The market says it's worth $100,000. They put that on their books. They put that on their books as $100,000. What they are saying, what Moody's is saying is, this is a challenge because what is the basis of that valuation, right? What's the basis of that? See, audited financial statements typically have a basis that the auditors have examined in relation to the valuation of that asset. So let's say it's a piece of equipment, a vehicle. The auditors get from the company, they get a cost of that thing. So we bought this equipment for $10,000. They examine the type of equipment they say, and they say, okay, well, this has a life of, say, 10 years, so therefore it's going to be depreciated over 10 years. If the company has had that for 5 years, then that's halfway through the depreciation period. So now the basis of that evaluation is the $10,000 paid for it less the depreciation. That's the valuation. Now, there might be some consideration in which maybe that particular vehicle has a retention value that's strong, and maybe there's something that accretes the value a bit and so forth. I don't know. But auditors normally have a basis for these valuations. The question is, you got a crypto asset sitting out there, sitting on your books, valued at $100,000. They said this is especially difficult and dangerous when it's a related party valuation. What does that mean? That means that here's a related party. So I have a company, it's called Z Enterprises, right? Let's say. And I have another company called ZL Enterprises. So if ZL Enterprises offered to pay $100,000 for my token in Z Enterprises, and I therefore value my token at $100,000 because ZL Enterprises, which is a related party, because it's related to me, I own both companies, has offered to buy it for that, then that's a related party valuation. That's what they're saying. And that was what was in effect happening with FTX and Alameda Research. They were related parties because Bankman-Fried owned both. Right? And all of a sudden, his FTX, his Alameda Research, has a valuation based on FTT tokens, based on FTT transactional flows that were buoying the price of the thing based on acquisitions and flows to Alameda. So what they're saying is, no, something has to be done about that. And so they have some suggestions about what is to be done about that, because all of this kind of related party transactions and these kinds of fuzzy valuations have implications for the extent to which investors understand what in fact are you holding, what in fact are you investing in, and how in fact risky. If I could give you all that information, you know, Tang, but if you don't have that information, I wasn't required to disclose that information. When you get due, well, there you go. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivagra Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. After the break, we'll be back.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivagra Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we are now talking about some words Moody's had to say about the FTX matter, making recommendations about how it ought to be dealt with. So what did Moody say should happen in light of the riskiness of these third-party valuations of these crypto assets, the basis of whose valuation is sketchy at best, right? So what they are saying is that there needs to be essentially accounting standards brought into the crypto assets valuation. Okay, so they say in a timely development, the U.S. Financial Accounting Standards Board, which is kind of like the board, the body that sets, standards for accounting principles in the U.S., has made progress this year in addressing the shortcomings of accounting for crypto assets by adding a project to its technical agenda to explore accounting for and disclosure of certain crypto assets such as digital currencies. Okay. So what they want to be able to do is to provide some rules around how to value these crypto assets. They say investors have been relying on voluntary disclosures to understand any delta between the book value, that's the cost less impairment. The delta is a measure, you know, of some risk related to these things, and the fair market value of any digital currency holdings, right? So you got your book value, right? That's what you do in valuing assets at, say, cost. And then you have your market value where people have been maybe auctioning up the price or auctioning down the price of an asset and so forth. And the difference might reflect either an undervaluation of the asset or an overvaluation of the asset. Either could represent a risky proposition for an investor. And so they are waiting on the Financial Accounting Standards Board to provide some view on how you should treat these issues, both, I think, from a income statement point of view, and I imagine from a balance sheet point of view, right? Anyways, so here's the thing for me. So I don't want you to get bogged down and all that, because you're not an accountant and I'm not an accountant and we don't need to get bogged down. Just know that these people are saying that you need to subject crypto assets to some accounting principles and rules. Now, here's the thing, right? The whole basis of this whole, the whole excitement around this crypto thing is that we are not, one, centralized, and two, we are not subject to central authority. The whole basis, that's why all excitement. Oh, we don't have to be subject to this one and subject to that one. And so, and all of a sudden, all the people trying to make money off of it seem to be doing things that bring it into, into the governance of central authorities. Whether that is in the regulatory entities that have to oversee them now, and the cry is for more of that, or in the accounting standards board that is now being invited to provide. See, because here's the thing. These accounting firms that audited these companies, that provided these opinions on these companies, the question is, when you provided your evaluation, your valuation of an FTT coin, what was the basis of that valuation? What rule in the standard accounting rules can you point to that says you were guided, that guided you in that treatment? I have a lot of friends who are accountants, and so y'all can tell me whether this makes sense or not. But what they're saying is this wild, wild west of cryptocurrency that was so exciting because it is a wild, wild west where there's gold in them, their mountains, they're now saying, bring in the feds so that the feds could bring some control to these wild, wild cowboys and bring things under some control. The whole, all of that is antithetical to the whole notion of cryptocurrency. That's why, in the end, the state shall always reign. In the end. So I don't know. I see a new day coming for the crypto market, and the Bahamas shall not escape that new day. And all the excitement that we have had around these crypto assets and what this could mean for us as an industry, I think is going to be tempered a great deal. I heard the Prime Minister's comments about coming out of this bigger and stronger and what have you. Maybe 30 years from now, maybe. But I think in the short run, there's going to be a lot of caution. A lot of caution. If we could get a top 5 crypto firm to register in this jurisdiction over the next 5 years, we will have done wonders. Wonders. Right? Because there's going to be a lot. See, this isn't about only the fact that you had FTX implode. That's not what it's all about. Because they can understand decisions made by Sam Bankman-Fried and his crew that may have led to this debacle. This is going to be about now the kind of scrutiny developed powers are going to put on entities using their citizens' monies to operate in outside jurisdictions. And that is going to be the slowdown. And those entities themselves are going to say, now listen, do I really want to subject myself to that level of scrutiny because I'm going in the jurisdiction where FTX just imploded? If we don't think that that's going to be a reality for us, I think that we are sadly deluded. What we have to do now, we don't throw away the dish. We do what we have to do to our regulatory regime and the like. But we have to have a modestly paced approach to the thing now, recognizing the dilemma that we now face. And we have to now go on a mission to reassure the world about the integrity of our global financial services sector. See, FTX is just one tiny component of that sector. And when I say tiny, I don't mean that it wasn't worth, in quote, $32 billion. I'm saying our financial services sector includes trust and mutual funds and, you know, home offices and all these kinds of things, family offices and these kinds of things, right? So we have had that stable, very appealing and attractive financial services regime for a long time. And we have not had any massive implosions like this in those areas of our financial services sector. We have not. We have had a blue chip, well-regulated, well-run offshore financial services sector. And the only things that interrupted that were these international regulatory events that tried to bring us down. And they didn't do it. So we invited FTX in. FTX came in. In recent times, in 2 years, and caused this big implosion. We have to contain that cancer. We have to ensure that the knowledge base of the people who are observing these things understand that this is not the entirety of the financial services sector of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. You have to be very clear on that, so that people aren't taking this and spreading this cancer across the financial, credible, very professional, very capable, very sound professionals in the Bahamas have been providing services to high-end clientele across the planet now for decades upon decades without any kind of scandal like this erupting. We have to do that. We have to ensure that in our language, we have to ensure that people understand this embryonic digital asset sector that we have been trying to be a part of, a pioneering effort, is calcified now. Calcified away from that more mature offshore finance center that we have been operating for decades now, because there is not a wild, wild west in those sectors of this country and has never been. Well, certainly hasn't been for many years. And that we have more strictures and we have more rules for that sector than exist in the United States of America, in the United Kingdom, in Europe, etc. Because we as citizens know that it is entirely and abundantly more to get away with crap in this financial services sector in this country than in others across the world. And so we have to make that very clear. Abundantly clear to folk. And don't let our story become FTX. Do not tie ourselves entirely and exclusively to FTX. His text says, excellent recap and analysis of these two topical and crucial issues. However, with respect to BPL, Minister of Works asks, what's the relevance? With respect to FTX, the PM says, our reputation will come out more enhanced. Unfortunately, these will both be dropped and dismissed as political mischief. As for Fred, well, you know, none of us can do anything about what the society decides to do with any issue. You know, you discuss it, we move on from everything in this world. And that's the reality. We move on from everything in this world. Everything in this world. So it's a thing. Nobody stays and hangs on to thing. But see, what you don't realize is life is cumulative. So people form views of things and people and organizations based on a cumulus set of deposits of good and bad impressions. It's Texas, Mr. Lang, you said it. Wild, wild west. It is a little like the Davis government, everyone doing their own thing. Okay. Yeah. But my recommendation is that in our language motions, that the Bahamas helps there be an understanding that FTX was not the Bahamas and the Bahamas was not FTX. Its financial services was not the Bahamas. And FTX and FTX was not its financial services. It says, Brave Davis made a speech to Parliament saying, we don't have to change a thing. I don't expect Mr. Davis to be a financial expert. I'm extremely concerned about whomever has even supplying faulty financial advice to Mr. Davis for the past 3 months with such dramatic negative implications. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen, you all have a great evening. God bless. It's been good to be in with you all today. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I hope and trust you have a super evening. We'll be back tomorrow. God spares life.
Z Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Alive, CJ Atlantic, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Take a stand, everybody.